Okay, right. So, let's... Game face, game face.
Lemon face, lion face. Lemon face, lion face.
What?
What's that from? It's from like a Kevin Smith film, isn't it?
It's yoga faces.
What on earth?
Lemon face, lion face, lemon face, lion face.
Yeah,
there you go.
Lemon face, lion face.
Right, Ben, I suggest we just make that this week's intro.
I mean,
intro.
I'm as lost as you, Dan. It's fine. Don't feel bad.
Well,
like,
I mean, I'll try it again. But hello and welcome to Les Odorants. Yeah, what the fuck, guys? I'm Dan, and I am joined, as always, by Ben, James, and Fliss. Say hello, motherfuckers!
Hello, motherfuckers!
Yeah, that's how we do. That's how we do. Right, good. Jesus Christ. Well, are you all right there, Fliss?
I'm just laughing. I always laugh at the beginning.
Yeah, try not to cough up a lung.
I know.
A kind of peculiar start to this week's episode. You are tuned in, believe it or not, to a perfume podcast, not some random bunch of idiots just kind of like trying to figure out what they're doing. This is episode 10?
Nine.
Excellent. This is the worst start to any podcast ever.
But you say that every week, Dan.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we give ourselves a run for the money.
Yeah, I know. I do say it each week, and each week it's true, which means things are only moving in one direction. Anyway, yeah. So what are we doing? Who are you lot? I don't know. Yes, this is the 9th episode of the 2nd season of Les Odorants. It may well be the last episode if we carry on like this.
Unbelievably, we've done many episodes before this one.
Yeah, we have done some others. And yeah, I mean, yeah. Who knows? Whatever. Right. Fliss, let's talk about perfume. Yes, I'm coming to you first.
Whoa!
Right. Tell me about some perfume, what you have been wearing. Go.
Okay, cool. So I started my new fortnight with Antonia's Flowers by Bernard Chant, which is a 1985 beautiful fresh spring delight, and it's just freesia heaven. It's hugely discontinued. I've only got a dram left, and I was just like, do I wear it in the spring? Everyone else was doing like May Mouge, which apparently is a thing on Instagram that I didn't know about. But
May Mouge.
Or Mouge May. It was like, oh, here's my Dearissimo. And I was like, I don't have Dearissimo. What the fuck? But I do have Antonia's Flowers, which is like a big freesia delight, and it was gorgeous, and it's very, very clean, and it's pink and gentle musk and jasmine and lilies and white flowers, and you just want to be like skipping down the Champs-Élysées in ballet slippers and a cashmere shrug with a little like mini Kelly bag in a really deeply impractical colour.
Have you met me?
Well, yes, none of this is you. None of this is you. But this is for for the ladies who are listening.
The ladies.
And I looked up recently, because I wore it out, I finished my bottle, I looked up on eBay how much new bottles are going for. And at the moment, there are 3 bottles of Antonia's Flowers going, and they all are over £500 for 50 mil.
What?
I know. And what? I was like... fuck off.
That's some extremely expensive
price gouging vintage shit. So then after that I was like, fuck you cunts. So I looked up Dearissimo and I managed to get my hands on a 50 mil houndstooth bottle of pre-1991 Dearissimo for 40 quid. And it's sublime.
That's good.
That's a bargain, isn't it?
It really was. I don't know if they kind of mislisted it or something, because no one else bid on it. And I got it and I was like, is it going to be okay? Because no one else had bid on it. And I got it and it's fucking gorgeous. It's just like Lily of the Valley heaven. So I kind of don't mind about the Antonia's flowers being used up now. That was okay on me. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, well, that sounds like you managed to snag a little eBay bargain.
I totally don't know how that happened, because I think they probably go for more than that normally, but it just the gods of perfume were smiling. Then I did a very stupid thing. I did a blind buy, which I never do at the moment. But the internet was telling me that Guidance by Amouage, the old new Quentin Beach release, was all the girls were like fangirling. There was a load of influencers were just like, this is the thing, this is the thing. And
You influenced?
I totally was.
Were you influenced by the influencers?
I really was. And Natino had a tester at a good price, and I stupidly went, again, I'm going to buy that. So I bought it, and then it was it's very nice. It's a big...
It's a big sort of sweet floral thing.
Yeah, there's a very tart, fizzy opening. There's a big peary thing at the top, and then it's a bit more grapefruity for me. I don't get a huge amount. There's meant to be this hazelnut note, which I didn't really get, but there is a green nutty creamy note in the dry down, which I felt was a little bit more pistachio. It was nice. It was very, very biche. It was very, very semi-gourmand, fluffy, huge sillage, kind of biche-ish thing.
Biche-ish.
And everyone was like, oh, it doesn't smell like a biche. And I smelt it and I was like, it totally smells like a biche. And I had it for about 3 days and I was like, no, and I sold it. Not because I didn't like it, but just because it wasn't particularly me. And I think even though the bottle is very pretty, it's not going to stay in my collection for long. So I just thought, just sell it now, just get rid of it. So I did that.
Nice.
Yeah, it was easy.
I quite liked it. It's the pink bottle.
Yeah. And it is.
It's pretty, but as much as I love Amouage, I thought it was a slightly trivial kind of perfume for them.
It didn't have the heft I was hoping for. I was expecting a little bit more from it, and it just felt a little bit cute and pretty and sweet and nice. And I wanted more than nice, to be honest. And it was just very nice.
Well, you're not a nice girl.
I'm not a nice girl.
When did that come out?
It came out not very long ago. It was this year.
It was released with
the whole
purpose.
Kind of, yeah,
there was purpose. Guidance and two others. So four came out at the same time. They seem to release them in batches of four. Purpose was another biche one. It was quite incense-y quite like fresh and a bit weird. I don't know. It wasn't my favourite, to be honest, of the Amouage. I think that range for me didn't quite hit its mark, or at least not with me anyway.
That's what I kind of felt. I felt like if money was no object, I would keep it, because it was very pleasant for a nice warm day, for a nice sunny day. It would have been an easy wear. But actually, if you're trying to curate something, or if you just don't have the cash to have that bottle sit around, it wasn't special enough for me to keep it. So I didn't keep it. Not very many other things, to be honest. I had a MDCI set that I tried. We talked a little bit about some of it last week. More of the same, a lot of the masculine leathers. Lomagant I tried, which was actually I found it quite boring in comparison to the other leathers that they do. A bit synthetic. And I also tried L'Elegant, which was a nice, soft, spicy leather, but it was just nice and soft. It wasn't like, oh my God, I need a bottle. So I kind of feel like in those masculine leathers, I feel like I've sort of like, spunked my load with them.
You can't say that.
It's a family show.
Watch.
And then...
She's done it. It's all right.
No, I didn't. And then I received a big Matier Perfumer at Gantier kind of thing. What's the word?
Oh, it's very specific.
Well, 15 of their male-leaning line sample set. And
sample set?
Yeah. And it was... I'm kind of working my way through it, and it's all very nice. There's nothing in particular I want to talk about. I just feel like it's all very French classical, but there's nothing yet that I've gone, ooh, I want to try that more. It's just like, that's nice, that's nice, that's nice. So it was a bit of a meh week for me, to be honest, in terms of trying things. That's kind of my load, to be honest. I'm done.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like amazing, if I'm honest. Although, kudos on snagging the Dearissimo.
Yeah, the Dearissimo was my big thing this week, but everything else was a bit like, bleh.
Good. Right. Well, I can offer this week a couple of interesting things what I have tried. The new Jacques Pfaff. Not the iris one. Sorry, vetiver gris. Although they have done a recreation of the iris gris. You know that.
Yeah.
I haven't tried it. It's expensive. I had a little dab. Drunk enough to blind buy it.
Well, I had a little dab sent to me, and it's very nice.
Is that the remake?
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't the Got it. I did wonder. Is it worth getting? Should I just go and buy it?
I don't know.
That?
I mean, I think it's like £1,000 or something for not very much.
What is this again?
Yeah, it is. This is Jacques Pfaff.
I'm
going to
look it up.
They've recreated Iris Green.
Ah, right.
But it's in two formats. You can get it in the oil, which is the sort of £1,000 malarkey, or you can get an EDP spray, which is like 250 quid or something.
Yeah.
I think it's 250 quid for like 30 mil, though.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're getting a vast amount of perfume. That said, 30 mil of anything will last me a lifetime. But the vetiver gris, I rather like, I think. I can't quite get my head around it. There's quite a lot going on with it, and it's more complicated than most of the other Jacques Pfaff perfumes that I've tried. But there's a sort of weird, almost kind of that baccarat-y sort of sweetness to it with a vetiver. And then, I don't know, some sort of green... It's not labdanum, but a sort of greenness as well at the top. And it somehow really works. I rather like it.
It looks quite sweet for a vetiver perfume.
Yeah, and it is. It is, because it's got that sort of whatever Baccarat Rouge is, a sort of candy floss saffron-y thing going on. But it's very nice. It's really enjoyable, but it's not... I don't know... It's not a super obvious perfume, even though it's got elements of what you might sort of call mainstream stuff. It actually, I think, ticks quite a lot of boxes. I'll send some samples out for you guys, because I'm sure you'd like to try it. But I managed to get a sort of reasonably priced bottle of that. Although I say reasonably priced, I don't even know what the retail is, but I paid £80, which is not...
That seems very good.
That didn't strike me as insane.
So just going to chuck this out there, and judging purely from the note listing, which obviously doesn't tell us not even a fraction of the story, but it's got a lot of vetiver and a lot of orange, and it says bitter orange. So does it avoid the obvious Terre d'Hermès associations?
It completely. It doesn't seem anything like Terre d'Hermès. It's, who's the perfumer again? It's the same guy who did, is it Hérault? Is it Jean-Claude or Jean-Christophe Hérault?
Jean-Christophe Hérault, yeah.
Yeah, so it's the same guy who did Aventus. And one of my mates, just everything Hérault releases just gets bought immediately. And he's been advocating for this for some time. I think there is a... Yeah, it's an excellent perfume, but it's also... it's also interesting because for me, you know, I've got probably the most conservative taste out of the four of us. And it is sort of, it has conservative sort of mainstreamy elements to it whilst not being a fucking snooze fest. I do think you'll like it. The other one that I've been wearing, in fact, I'm wearing at the moment, is Trudon de. yes, by Lynn Harris. Mm. And I don't know. I feel like I've yet to find a Lynn Harris perfume. I mean, they're all very good, right? So every Lynn Harris perfume I've tried, I sort of nod and go, yep, brilliant, you know, yeah, really clever, well done, you know, mm-hmm, really well executed. Emotionally, no, not a shred of resonance for me. I don't know why they just don't seem to do it for me. All of Lynn Harris's compositions to me are far too deft and, you know, light touch and elegant and you know, a lot of the time I don't want elegant. I want to be fucking slapped up across the head.
Because I think you do like elegant though, but I know exactly what you mean, because I've had so many of her stuff go through my collection, but I don't have anything in my collection, and it's all in like little 10 mil vials that I've kept back, and the dirt I've also bought and then sold on. And I completely agree with you. There's something slightly cold about them in terms of just none of it really makes me go, and the dirt is incredibly good. It's like this photorealistic. It feels like you're walking through a wood or a fresh cut park, or, you know, this like lawny feeling. It's very, very green.
Yes.
But it just doesn't move me to want to smell like that.
No. Mm. No. And I kind of the perfumes strike me as being technically brilliant.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There's just a sort of, to me, I don't detect any warmth or character from them particularly. Yeah. And I know others do. So I'm not saying there is an absence or of character or anything like that. I wouldn't be so presumptuous as to fucking slag off Lynn Harris. But for me, I just don't get any personal connection to them. And I think that's why it's really handsome. It's really well done. I should like it. I do like it, but I don't love it.
I feel the same about everything that I've smelt of her.
Everything,
all of her stuff is just saying, this is really, really good. I should like it more than I do. And then I just can't bring myself to like it anymore.
And James, I'm wondering what your take on Lynn Harris is, because I mean, you've probably got a fairly good measure of Lynn Harris as a perfumer, right?
Yeah, I'd say so. I know what you mean, though. I know what you mean. She's kind of at home with. I don't even know what her style is, because she does, like, you know, a broad sort of range of perfumes, but they all have like a signature sort of thing to them, which says a lot, because that's a really hard thing to do as a perfumer. One thing is to have, you know, a kind of you know, a style or whatever. And I think the main one that I think is the I think the only one that I can think that I own really is Fuit de Tabac.
Just the Miller Harris one.
Miller Harris, which is wonderful. But I can't really think of any others that have, like, blown me away. But she seems to be at home with those kind of more, like, almost like a kind of somber sort of mood of, like, tobacco, but not, like, that warm, like, sort of corny tobacco, if you like. More of, like, yeah, almost like herbal, like, tea or something like that. Like, she's got those kind of, like, vibes to her. So they're not immediately, like, lovable. And then I'm trying to think about her florals and stuff. I don't know really. I don't know.
I always feel there's a little bit of dirtiness missing, and even in L'Air de Rennes, which is like the dirty one,
yeah,
it's not that dirty, yeah, to be fair. I just feel like it's just missing a bit of
bit polite. I'd go with that.
It's not quite as polite as Jo Malone,
no.
But it's like that, yeah, just it just lacks that
slightly cooler Jo Malone.
That's a low bar, though.
That is low bar, yeah. I didn't mean that, Lynn. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, that was the two of most interest, I guess, for me recently. Yeah, let's Let's talk about Ben. What have you been wearing, Ben?
Well, you know, the weather's been beautiful the last few days, right?
Well, maybe down south. It's been fucking bobbins up north, as usual.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to say it's been fucking gorgeous down
fucking
here.
Fucking gorgeous.
Fucking gorgeous. And so I've been wearing Quelque Fleur by Vidigan.
Really?
The original X-ray. Yeah. I fucking love that shit.
Is that a, like, super aldehyde for you?
Yeah, but I don't know.
Oh, Ben, you fucking do my nutting. You're like, you hate aldehydes. And then you're like, I just wear the Quelque Fleur. I'm like, what the fuck?
You just went all West Country there for a minute. You do my nutting. Not another one.
I just don't get it. I just don't get it. What's going on, Ben?
I don't know. I just fucking love it. I think I've spoken about this film before. Like, I was going to kind of breeze over it, but it's just so fucking good. It's it's like a aldehylic, but there's something that seems okay. So what I love about it, right, is it balances, like, it walks a few lines really fucking well. So it's obviously like a really big, like, aldehylic floral, but at the same time, it's like, it's not dense or heavy or thick, and there's like this beautiful, like, greenness to it, but it's not too green. And it's like a little bit of skank, but it's not too skanky. It's, you know, it's very, like, well-behaved and polite. It's just, I feel like when you wear it, just, I really like the invigorating upliftingness of the florals. I mean, you know, Lily. I don't like Lily of the Valley perfumes, do you know what I mean? But and it's quite a big, like, feature of this one. But it just works in this. I just like it as a whole. I just really like it. It's the X-ray version, which is, like, super expensive, I think. I've only got, like, little 10 mil travel out of my roll of it. Because, fuck, spending £400 on a perfume, which I'm sure we'll come to later. But it's, you know, I just love it. I don't
class
know what it's like
class,
compared
though.
To the
class
toilettes
is,
or any of that.
Class, that's it. Do you know what I mean? This is what it's about with perfumes.
Yeah.
We're not necessarily, oh, I go around going, oh, yeah, I love Lily of the Valley or Tubros or whatever. But you find a good perfume. Or you say, oh, I don't like this or I don't like that. And it turns out you actually do, if it's in the right context.
Yeah.
And Quelque Fleur couldn't be any more complex and, like, it changes to, like, loads of different, like, things. It's brilliant. It's brilliant.
I'll tell you what else about it as well that I really, like, I find really good. It's just that it's clearly a big feminine floral, but at the same time, it's not that feminine. Like, if you're like a bloke, right, and you kind of fancy, like, wearing, like, you know, maybe dipping your toe in, like, perfumes marketed towards women or whatever, I think it would be a great one for, like, to, you know, like, wet your whistle with, because although it's clearly, like, you know, a big white floral, it's got this kind of, like, mossy element to it that's, like, I don't know, somehow it just drags it back.
I'm just completely confused now, because after the aldehydes, when you were just like, fuck aldehydes, they're all shit, I hate them all, they make me sad and grumpy.
Yeah.
And now you're Quelque Fleur.
But this doesn't smell like... Quelque Fleur doesn't smell like a funeral, like a procession or like a funeral home or anything. You know, it's very, like, uplifting and alive and vibrant and, you know, like
so the other thing that bothers me, sorry, about what Fliss just said is how you seem to expect consistency from
I don't expect consistency from Ben of all people. Of course I don't expect consistency, but if someone had said to me, here's £50, does Ben like Quelque Fleur? I'd have gone, no, fucking give me the £50. And now I learn I don't get the £50. I just don't understand it. I'd have been cert.
I own two travel sprays of the
Jesus
thing.
Jesus Christ.
Well, there's a Christmas quiz. £450. Does Ben either A,
love Quelque Fleur? B, I've lost. I'm out of the game. You all move through to round two, and I don't.
I think it's way too feminine, Ben. I mean, I have tried it, and I like it for it being a perfume. But I mean, it is arguably the most feminine floral, you know, that I could think of, really.
Oh, okay. Do you not think, like, with the kind of like mossiness, it's like you could like rock it? Or
no.
No. No. I'm just going to say no. Yeah, no. I don't think I could. I mean, but I as I kind of find myself saying a lot, I'm easily the most conservative in my taste of the four of us. And I think, I don't know. I can appreciate a lot of perfumes. I can really appreciate the Dana Taboo. I wouldn't wear it. I couldn't wear it. In the same way that I can't wear Quelque Fleur, I don't think. Although I do remember James saying once, you know, sometimes he just likes to feel like an 80s woman in a power suit, you know, with shoulder pads.
Yeah. Yeah.
And why not indeed?
Well, so anyway, so moving on from that one then, just to sort of like further throw the inconsistency, the other perfume that I've been wearing quite a lot of was either Zerjoff, Cruz de la Tour 1, right? Now, this is...
Is that the mango-y one?
No, it's an important distinction. Cruz de la Tour 2 is that one, and it's trash, and it's that's the one that a lot of people tend to sort of gravitate towards because it's sort of sweet and fruity and obvious.
Ick.
Cruz de la Tour 1 is like a very raw sort of vegetal leather with very dried, I think they call it a wine note, but it's like dried, rich dried fruits and also castoreum, this smoky castoreum. And I fucking love it. Do you know what? It's like, I've had it for ages and I sort of forgot about it. But for me, it's like, when you say niche perfumery, I feel like it's the real definition of that, in the sense that it's quite a nice perfume. It's not, it is a perfume. Do you know what I mean? It smells good, like, but it walks a line. You know, it's got this weird smoky note to it. You know, from the castoreum, and it's quite rich and thick, and you know, it's not easy. It's not an easy going fragrance. It's but it's quite nice, really. It's not... So, you know, like a lot of the perfumes that I like that are like, you would say, are challenging or whatever, they're not, just not very nice perfumes, to be fair. Do you know what I mean? They would. Some people would say they're not even perfume. Whereas this is... Do you know what I mean? This clearly is perfume. It smells good. But it's not easy at the same time. It's good.
So I had a message from a guy who listens, a chap called Noah. Hello, Noah, if he's still listening. And he said when we did the episode about collections, he sent me a message saying, I knew Ben's most kind of the house that Ben's got the most of was Zerjoff. It's like, do you not listen to your friend on the podcast? He's told you this several times and yet you were surprised by it. It's like, oh, well, obviously someone's listening better than I am. That still bothers me that Zerjoff is the most populous, the most voluminous, whatever the word is, the most high frequency. I'm going to get stuck on finding the exact statistical word here, but it bothers me that that's the thing that you've got most of in your collection.
Well, we'll come back to this later, I think, because it's kind of, because there is...
There's a Zerjoff snobbery.
Yes!
Well, almost opposite, but we'll come back to that later, because it's quite an interesting point. Anyway, so the reason I was wearing that Zerjoff was because I tried the new Gallivant that Nick sent us, that James arranged, it reminded me a little bit of that, that Zerjoff. But we'll talk about that Gallivant next week, I think, when we've all received them.
Yes, once everyone's got them in the house. Cool. All right, so apart from the Zerjoff and your Quelque Fleur, anything else exciting?
Nothing exciting, unfortunately.
Nothing exciting. Good weather.
Yeah, loads of fucking crackers, but I think I've spoken about them all before, so yeah.
Fair enough. All right, well, James is doing some press-ups, warming up, I can see, getting ready to fucking unload the full 14.
Right, so first day, I wore Frederick Malle Geranium Pour Homme because we were talking about it.
Toothpaste!
Inspired by, you know, toothpaste and mouthwash. My favourite Malle, blah, blah, blah. We know it's great. It's excellent. Then I wore... Mm-hmm. You always hate this name because it's like... I think it's the way I pronounce it. Ted Lapidus. Or Lapidus. Lapidus, Lapidus.
can't be libidos. That can't.
It's not libido.
That cannot possibly
be. Problem?
That can't be how you pronounce. You cannot
lapidus?
Possibly be called. It's got to be lapidus,
like,
or lapidu,
like,
or some.
Anyway.
I bet you do, darling.
So, Black Soul... Yeah.
Hey, everybody, James likes lapidus.
It's called Black Soul. It's pretty rubbish, but it's one of those, like, really... like, I hear, like...
That sounded
it's
like...
It's Magnum P.I., wasn't it?
It sounded like the A... Oh, Magnum.
Yeah, Magnum... I think it was Magnum.
Yeah, I was, for some reason, I was going to say A-Team. In fairness, that'll probably sound better to everybody on the actual podcast than it does to us, because we're listening to you shout into a phone from a distance. Oh, no. Okay, it won't.
Okay.
Fair enough,
no,
yeah.
Right, so that's what I always hear in my head. It's kind of like a hairy-chested, like, ridiculous Hawaiian-shirted job. It's like a big floral, like men's floral, but it's kind of gross and sort of like rubbery, and it's just, it's outrageous.
Lapidus.
Like bubblegummy, sort of like, I don't know, white floral kind of thing, but it's like rubbery and fucking relentless, and but it's weirdly brilliant. And I just like wearing it. They're all a bit like that.
Weirdly brilliant.
Yeah, so
that weirdly brilliant review came out of nowhere. That wasn't how I was expecting
it
to end.
Well, I own it. I wore it. I'm not a completely, you know, like, well, actually, you weren't to know that. A lot of the time I wear samples, but, like, I do own that. It's, like, about, it's one of them that's about 12 quid or something for, like, you know, 100ml bottle or whatever. The bottle's sort of a weird shape. It's kind of, like, it's quite kind of cool, but it's sort of, anyway, let's move on.
I mean, whether or not Black Soul's a good name, Lapidus is a bad name. So,
we'll costume national scent.
What? Sorry, just remind me. You mentioned the other week something called unidentified scented object.
Yeah.
Was that costume national? Or was
Kenzo?
Who was that? Oh, it's Kenzo. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I still want that.
Yeah, I want that quite badly.
But anyway. Okay, sorry, we digress. So tell us about the Costume National one.
Kind of got, it's like a Costume National perfume, right? They all kind of have this, like, I don't want to say it, but, you know, this kind of similar vibe. It's a sort of fruity, there's a kind of, like, it's a distinct apple note, right? And they don't really particularly like that in perfumery that much. It's almost like something like that, but then it's got this kind of Yopom, like, meets, like, Bertrand Dachaufour, like, modern. It's, like, really obviously synthetic. It's like that kind of, like, that hibiscus, like, stuff that you put in champagne. Do you know, like, Chambord or whatever? It's a bit like that. But it's kind of spicy, and it's got a bit of, like, cinnamon warmth to it. Do you know, like, the Costume National Arm? You know, like, their first one? Or is it called 21?
Yeah.
They've got... I fuck knows with them. They're all... They're kind of similar, though. They're this modern, relentless, weird fragrance.
You're selling it. You're selling it.
No, I like them. I like them a lot. They're kind of like... Like I say, they sort of remind me... It's not by Bertrand Dachaufour, because I looked it up. But it reminds me of that kind of, like, style. So, yeah, kind of fruity, weird job. Very much in their style. It was called Scent Intense, that one. So maybe check it out, maybe don't. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
Cool. And then on the same day, sorry, so it might be 15. I wore Montblanc Individuel on the same day because it was kind of reminding me those sort of... like Yopom, like vibes, and I'd worn the other one the other week, Presence, Montblanc Presence, which I see as a kind of sister, brother fragrance to Individuel. And it's similar in that sense. It's almost like cinnamony, like cinnamal, a little bit of clove, but like a little bit, just like a spicy nuance to it. But with this, like, main sandalwood kind of core, I mean, everyone sort of goes on. Like, I used to think, oh, yeah, all of those creeds, this ties back to another thing that I'm wearing today, actually. But, like, all of those creeds mainly are better than the other one, you know, the Green Irish Tweed or the whatever they were from other brands, you know what I mean? Even if they're by the same perfumer or what, those things.
Yeah.
The Santal, whatever, what is it called? Original Santal?
Is it?
That is like, I always was like, yeah, that's well better than Individuel. But to the point where they're both quite shit, so just buy Individuel. Like, why? You know what I mean? Even if it's like a few percent better from Creed.
I hate them.
Yeah, they're both rubbish.
I just, there's something, I don't know what it is. There's a commonality.
I'll say something. Bounce, just, dryer sheets.
Yeah, which wouldn't be so bad if it didn't have this sort of, I don't know, there's something in there that's just like, I don't know, it's like if it was an orchestra, there's some cunt playing out time. There's just something like going,
it does.
Yeah, stop making that
it
noise.
It does do that. Yeah, that exact little, that's exactly what it is. So anyway, yeah, so I wore that. Then I wore Atelier d'Or, Cuir Sacre.
Sacred leather.
Ben knows about these, don't you, Ben?
Yeah, but I was about to say, funny enough, I've never actually smelt that one, but I like the brand a lot, so I'm willing to believe it.
Well, it's a load of shit.
Good.
No, it's not really.
Oh, really?
Joking, it's good, it's good.
Because everything I've smelt from them has honestly been, like, pretty much, like, top tier. I just think they're brilliant.
They are good, yeah, they are very good.
Representing for the opposition, I'd like to say I'm yet to discover one that I thought was anything better than, you know, fair to middling.
Really?
I've tried a few. I can't even remember which ones, but
which everyone's darling.
That was way too saccharine for me. Mm. Just.
That's your darling as well, Ben. Don't say everyone's darling.
Oh,
that's
I fucking love Lupuline. Yeah. I think it's brilliant. But I mean, it's
why?
The one that everybody
it
loves.
It just seemed like such a fucking straightforward vanilla blob.
I think it's the cardamom that makes it somewhat, you know, interesting. But
I don't get it. I don't get it. But there you go.
Anyway, this has a really nice leather note, Accord. Sorry. and it also, like, starts off, there's a little bit of something challenging. Sort of with the opening, you're kind of a bit like, where is this going to go? And then by the time it's sort of dried down, it's much more polite. It's clearly got like a sort of classical, quite realistic leather base to it. I thought it was very good. I thought it was very good. Nothing again to particularly write home about, but I thought it was solid perfumery and not the standard sweet leather that you might get or whatever. The actual leather note was impressive, I thought, and kind of lasted. So I liked it. Then I wore Penhaligon's Blenheim Bouquet.
I've never tried that one, but I've always sort of wanted to. Is
it?
No,
I'd avoid it, shit.
Fair enough.
It almost sounds like really bland.
It is. Blenheim it's bouquet. So bland. Yeah. Again, I did that stupid thing that I was saying about the other week where I walked around and I've got these little mini, they're like a, have you seen the mini Penhaligon's bottles? I don't think they really do them anymore, but they've got a little stopper in the top. And I stupidly like put some on and then went, oh, this might not last today. I'll put it in my pocket. And then I took it and it just leaked all over the gaff. So like, I ended up stinking of it, like unnecessarily. But yeah, it's very soapy, cheap smelling, sort of like lemon and soapy sort of stuff. It's not great.
For me, it's the epitome of like the kind of stereotype that Penhaligon's has sort of garnered over the years of being like, just a kind of very bland, soapy barbershop that lasts about 15 minutes and then it's fucking gone anyway.
Yeah.
And deeply pleasant. Pleasant is the right word. I
actually thought that I liked it a lot more than it did. I had like kind of sweeter like recollections of it than actually transpired on this day. So before this, I'd have gone, oh yeah, Blenheim Bouquet, it's got like, you know, slight little floral element. No, I'm fed up of it now. I never want to see it, wear it again. It can fuck off. So then I wore a Gucci Pour Homme 2. Have we really talked about that?
I don't think so, but it's the sort of, it's, I don't know, I think people sort of love it because it's discontinued and related to Gucci Pour Homme 1.
Is it discontinued, though?
It's, it's the blue,
can I just say, people
the blue
thought
tea
it was
one,
discontinued
isn't
it? For years, and it wasn't. So,
it
definitely
is
now, yeah? I would have thought it would be, but like a lot of people did think that years ago, and it wasn't. It's still, it was the one that they kept on from all those old ones. So you thought, does it sell? Is it successful? Have they just got loads of these? The only thing I'll say about it, we won't talk about the violet leaf or any of this, Leo tea or whatever. I think that it's quite an important fragrance in quite a lot of ways. So it has this little spice accord that's within it. I don't know who made it. I can't remember who made it. But it's kind of similar in a sort of light, slightly tweaked version of kind of like Spice Bomb a little bit. So it's got this sort of pink peppery kind of vibe. Just within all that like tea, it's a lot more spooky and weird. And that's what I like about it, the violet and the kind of tea and stuff. I said I wasn't going to get into that. The main thing about it is that if a burglar comes into your house, that is like, just reach for that fucking thing because it is like
sharp as fucking anything. Yeah. Knows. Yeah, absolutely. I feel like maybe I should fucking revisit that one now.
I do like it as a person.
There's some very expensive ones on eBay.
It's decent. Yeah. So anyway, then I wore Amouage Lyric Man, which we've talked about. A listener who I don't think I even know his name, so it's not like I'm forgetting his name. Shout out to you.
shout out to someone. If that someone is you, yes.
He's basically said to me, is Lyric Man any good? And he's well into like, I want it to really last and be really strong. And I think stuff that I've said, he's really strong, he's like, no, that's like pussy shit.
But will it last?
Yeah, like he really
likes it. But will it last? Will it perform?
Stuff. And I said, well, yeah, you know, the new version of this, I have slightly rose-tinted kind of, no, like pun intended, view of the original like Lyric, which has definitely been certainly toned down a little bit for just... And this is me saying this. It's still really strong, still lasts, just spray a bit more. I remember I literally just used to have to do like two sprays or whatever and it would just be beaming off me like all day. So they've definitely changed it since the plastic cap, you know, the magnetic cap one's the new one. But it's still really good, just spray more. It still totally represents the fragrance, but it's just maybe a little bit not quite as strong. So that was kind of that. But it's a beautiful trail of like soapy rose and olibanum. And it's magic, that perfume. Magic. Lyric Man. Stunning.
Magic. Lyric
then
Man.
Then I wore Initio, which is a brand that I would probably go, you said you hated clones and you fucking hypocrite. Initio Musk Therapy. It's a quite boring musk fragrance. Enough with the fucking musks. It's pretty, like, it's supposed to be simple, but it's not really that simple to do a strip-back good one. It kind of reminds me of some other ones, but not quite, slightly tweaked. It's very good. It's very good. So, you know, all
Is it?
Brands...
I don't think I've tried that
all
one.
Brands can have their day, you know? Even if they're, you know... ones that have been previously rebuked,
rebuked by the arbiter.
No, no, none of them are too. I can't think of the expression. Like deserving of praise or not. I don't know what I'm saying. Anyway, so then I wore Comme des Garçons Rouge, which is a nice combination of rhubarb and beetroot. Who the fuck knew that goes together? Well, it really does really well. I had an afters. I always go on about this afters. I went to a Michelin star restaurant once in my fucking life, a two-star restaurant, which I always dine out on literally for fucking years. I've been going, like, do you remember when I went there? And I had this afters.
We remember when.
It was fucking amazing. And it was...
Do you say afters?
You meant like a pudding.
Like a pudding dessert.
No, yeah. Dessert. Who? Pudding? Afters? Oh my God, who are you people? It's just dessert,
at
surely.
A two-star restaurant as well. Yeah.
Surely it's just
dessert. What you got for afters? Got any vanilla ice cream out there? Out back?
So, anyway, it was lovely and it was...
He's not taking the bait, is he?
It was rhubarb, beetroot and like bee pollen or some bullshit like that and stuff. And oh, it was incredible because you ate it and you got all the like tartness of the rhubarb. And then all of a sudden you sat there and you're like, what? It tastes like beetroot now. What's going on? And it was stunning. So
beetroot, apropos of nothing at all, but beetroot is one of a couple of things that I spent my entire life thinking I hated right up until the point that my wife made me try it. And then I went, oh no, actually I really like that. So the ones that stick in my mind are beetroot and milk in my coffee. Like, for some reason, I've been drinking black coffee since, like, the age of kind of 16. And, like, in my late 30s, I suddenly discovered I liked milk in my coffee. That's fucking stupid.
Just for clarification, I've just looked up on Etiquette School UK, and dessert is a sweet that you use a knife and fork to cut, so fruit or anything else with a knife and fork, and a pudding is something that you use a spoon for.
And wait, you use a knife and a fork to eat fruit?
You do if you are correct. Yes.
One does. What's it say about... Sorry, while you're on etiquette, what does it say afters are?
Well, it doesn't actually mention that at all.
What do you mean? It doesn't have an afters.
It doesn't say anything about afters.
Well, a big one for me. You're saying this now, Dan. Fucking ripping me down for the afters. I say, right.
How do you eat bread pudding?
I say house coat, right? For like a
house coat,
dressing gown, right? People say, "Oh, dressing gown." I'm like, "Oh, dressing gown." It's a house coat, isn't it?
Right. So here's another one. Ice lolly.
You've got me on this one before. Scousers do say lolly ice. I probably said it. I think when I said it on this, it was just probably the first time I've ever said lolly. I don't know.
Lolly ice.
I don't say that. I would say ice lolly, right? But you did pick me up on that once. And you were like, oh, you're such a fucking scouser and all this. And I was like, I'm not. I probably, like I say, never said that before. But anyway, yeah, no, they do tend to say it the other way around. But no, the housecoat one, because Elliot calls it housecoat now, and someone else said it, and I was like, yeah, like, you know, some kid in, like, you know, one of his friends or something. I was like, their parents say it as well, they're right as well. So not that there's any right.
So I'm just checking again on Etiquette UK, and a housecoat is a shorter fitted garment which is meant to be worn around the house, where a dressing gown is a robe that is solely worn in the bedroom or bathroom, and is often a long, flowing robe. And a housecoat is shorter and more fitted.
Oh, okay.
There you go. There. Anything else? I'm ready. My fingers are ready.
So have you guys tried Comme des Garçons Rouge?
Let's get back to perfume.
Have you tried Comme des Garçons Rouge?
I haven't. So the one that, like, you were talking about beetroot was Kyoto by Diptyque, but I think it might be like similarities to it. I don't know. Like to Comme des Garçons Rouge,
probably.
It's sort of like a woody, supposedly like rose and incense and vetiver thing, but it's not quite, it doesn't come across like that. It's the rose comes across quite forefront, but the woodiness and the vetiver is, it reminded me of a Comme des Garçons fragrance in that weird sort of like industrial process wood vibe that CDG fragrance
that's,
is quite.
Yeah, out. That's kind of the, that is the MO for this one. Yeah, it's.
I didn't like the Kyoto Diptyque. I thought that was crap, but and the beetroot was like really like not enough. But I don't know. So what's Rouge like? Good.
Yeah, Jenny didn't like it. Like,
well,
I was yeah, gonna. That's, I don't know. I'm not gonna share probably intimate stories on here. We've been. Bad yeah, that.
Yeah, that would be out of character, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, so let's not.
Ben never does that.
Then I wore Les Inimodables, Ombre Supreme, which I've got to say to Fliss, because I sent this to Fliss. She wore it and said, "Hey, yeah, it's not really my bag," and like sent it back. And then I was like, "Okay, how can she not like this? It's fucking amazing perfume," and it is, but I don't think I like it either now.
I got a bit tired of it. I think it is a brilliant perfume, but I got a bit tired of it, and I ended up selling mine. It's for me, it wasn't the standout of the range.
No, it isn't. It's still got those same materials. And what's amazing, what I love, is that I only bought a travel size one. No, I didn't buy it. They sent it to me. Thank you very kindly to Les Inimodables. They just sent me a little travel size. And they sent me the ambergris tincture, you know, of the ultrasonic ambergris. Yeah. So I was like, I can the thread going through this. I mean, you didn't have to send me the ambergris tincture. I can smell it in the perfume. It is really impressively got that ambergris quality, which is such a weird quality, and it's so wonderful in perfume. But when it's kind of in the forefront and so obvious like that, it's not always necessarily that, I don't know, like wearable. I don't know, with all the warmth of the other sort of ambery elements. It's a great perfume though, it really is. I mean, as soon as you smell it, you're like, this is great, but it does make you sort of tap out.
For me, it reeks, obviously, in the perfume way. It reeks of quality, but I didn't feel it moved me or that it stood out enough for me to go, yeah, I'm going to shell out for a bottle. Yeah. And I felt a bit sad in a way, because I kind of like, I really love that brand. And I was kind of expecting more, but I just was just a bit like, it's lovely. It's amazing and lovely, but I just,
yeah, yeah, you can't wasn't, make, you know, a thriller or a bad every time, can you? Do you know what I mean?
No, you can't.
Just to come back to our MJ,
stuff. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. do you reckon MJ and Ted Lapidus were friends?
I'm prepared to bet they were. So, Ormond Jane Woman. Or is it called Ormond Woman?
Fucking love that.
Ormond Woman. Yeah.
It's a bit of a P.T. Barnum job, right? Because it's kind of one of these like minimal things, but it's lots of things to different people. Like, I don't really know what that perfume is particularly. It smells, to me, it's very appealing, but it's that modern like style of molecule business that's like
felt very, it's very Gezischer, isn't it?
Very, very, and that's what I mean. It's something for everybody. They're extracting what you want to take from it, and that's probably fucking genius, in fact. But to me, it's like not quite distinctive enough. Don't get me wrong, I love it. It's musky. It lasts all day. It's got like really interesting like facets, and I can't place what's going on. So I love that about it. But, and I also love really modern perfumes as well. So I'm not saying it's bad at all, far from it, right? I enjoyed it and everything, but the thing that I take from it is like confused. I take loads of things from it, and nothing that really like nourishes my soul.
I think if you put it against something like Bois d'Ile or Bois d'Adrienne, it comes across a little bit lacking. Yeah. There's just a little bit of bite at the bottom, or just a little bit of that I felt was missing. Sure. And it's I feel the same way about you. I think it's excellent, but I just didn't connect with it.
Okay, cool.
Hmm. I thought it was bloody brilliant. It was one of the best things I smelt last year. That, you know, when we, from all the samples and stuff that we sent each other, I think Dan sent a sample of it. It's one of the best things I smelt all year. It was fucking brilliant. And it's, the opening is so unique. I've never smelt anything like it.
I think it's super duper as well. Although weirdly, they did an elixir one, which is like a sort of super strength version. You know, like the Amouage extracts kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it was a sort of hybrid of the Almond Jane Man and Almond Jane Woman, but then with this sort of giant slug of kind of oud in it as well. And it didn't quite work. I think, you know, the man and the woman, I think, are both brilliant. And I think they go together so brilliantly as well. But they didn't need to be tinkered with, in my
view. I can't imagine with the oud, because they're both so airy in many respects, that kind of popping
right.
that base in seems to be a bit, I don't know, I mean, I haven't smelled it, so I'm just burbling.
I thought that personally, what Dan said about the oud, or the like slightly different versions that they did of perfumes where they added an oud note, I felt it was quite, It was clearly real oud, right? And this is one of the problems with working with materials like that are so complex and dominant and whatever. And he'd kind of add like this oud element to it, and it'd last for a bit and then go away, and you were left with the same perfume. It just felt a bit disjointed for me. That's not his. Yeah. That's not even his thing, is it? His thing is like,
no,
overly fucking processed, like, you know.
Well, I don't know that it was him, actually. I'd need to check, but I think the elixir was done when they were sort of taking a break from each other.
Yeah, that would make sense.
I may be wrong about that.
That would make sense because that is exactly what I feel. I don't feel he would do that. Like, his oud that he's made for them, Niwab of oud, is as smooth and, like, molecular and all that kind of shit that all his other stuff is. That is a brilliant perfume. That is a fucking amazing perfume. Like, I
love Niwab of oud, yeah. Yeah, no, that's a great one. In fact, I might dig that out for tomorrow. It doesn't say on Fragrantica whether or not it was by Geza Schoen, which actually is a good...
Okay.
I think that's a good indicator that it was not by him, actually.
Yeah.
Anywho. Right, what else is on your list, James?
There's only three more, and I will whiz through them. So I wore Loewe, Agua de Loewe L. Pour Homme, I suppose. Do you know that one?
No.
It's in like a kind of frosted, very 90s. I think it came out in the 2000s, but it's a very 90s aquatic vibe. I love it. It's got like a mandarin-y kind of like top note, a little bit like bergamot mandarin. And then it just sort of takes you into like the best version of a kind of 90s floral, 90s like kind of citrus floral, you know. CK1 type aquatic thing. I love it. It's my favourite one. Loewe. No,
really. I think Loewe makes some really good perfumes.
Yeah,
actually.
It's stunning. It's stunning. And it's really kind of like, with that like slight lean to the orange, you get a little bit more, feels a bit more Spanish. I don't know if that's just like me, but it's very light and cheerful and playful. There's not too much cologne. There's not too much of that like salty sea bullshit taken over. There is that, obviously, but it's a very deliberately constructed to be different to all those other kind of perfumes, and I think it's excellent. I really enjoyed wearing
there's one with 70% left for $11.95 on eBay.
Oh, get that. It's amazing, dude.
Agua de Loewe, is it that one?
That's the women's one, I think, is it? Is that the men's one?
It's E-L.
Yeah, sorry, yeah, that's it, yeah.
Cool. Right, I might have
so
to.
So then I wore Mubusan on.
Mubusan,
which I think you would like, Dan, so keep your eBay open or whatever. Because
this is an expensive night.
It kind of resembles that weird, like, is it in Dubai or somewhere? There's like a ship, like looking building that looks like a yacht or like a schooner or something.
Oh, the Burj Al Khalifa.
Is that what it is? Anyway, it looks a bit like that. The bottle. The bottle's very interesting. It's kind of an irregular shape. And obviously, Mubusan are the do they make jewellery or they make some kind of like little bits and bobs, you know, like accessories and stuff. So they've
things.
Obviously had these...
Trinklements.
Yeah, these like...
Bits and
these,
bobs,
like, bespoke,
Trinklements, efforts.
Bottles. They're really cool. And in fact, the Flanker, the sport one, which is like came out years afterwards, is done by the same perfumer as an Amouage Beloved or Beloved. It's done by the same perfumer, and I think it's a lot cheaper version, and you'd expect it to be. But anyway, that's a Flanker, so forget it. I think you'd like this, Dan, because it's a really big fougere. It's got a kind of chocolatey note in the top that then turns into patchouli. So it's a lot like all those classic like fougeres. It's a little bit cheaper. You can smell that it's not as refined as a, you know, Invasion Barbar.
And which one is it?
Anything like that, you know, that of that sort of ilk.
Which one is it, James?
It's called Mubusan.
Mubusan.
I have
Mubusan
just...
Mubusan Paris Homme. $22.95. Ooh, that's a funky looking bottle as well.
I just got out of my box of things to sell a Mubusan.
Oh, I don't think it's that one.
Woman. No, I know, but I'm just saying that it's interesting that you're talking about that brand because it was cheap as fucking chips on eBay and it was nice, but I wasn't like, I need to
keep
this.
That's kind of what they're like. Do you know what I mean? They're not like blowing anyone's fucking skirt up.
This is Mubusan Homme.
Yeah.
Eau de Toilette. And it looks, it's got a weird dagger shape. I'll send you a link to it and you can tell me if this is the right one. But if it is, it's £8.60.
That's probably right.
On eBay.
Yeah,
I think I got mine for like $9.99 because there was a big thing. There was like some kind of, you know, when all the influencers go,
tune
oh
in.
My God, it's so cheap and exciting. And then you buy it and you're like, no, it's not.
So it's a
lavender. It was just like
everybody, tune in for cheap perfume.
Yeah, like a lavender tonka fougere. With a distinct patchouli note. It all smells very cheap. So think about it in terms of the materials that we tried the other week. Yeah. So this will be like a kind of underlying sort of rubbery kind of patchouli-esque vibe. Probably, you know, more of that sort of molecule kind of thing than actually the real stuff in there. And you'll see how it's like, yeah, like a cheaper version of those things, but it's still good. I think it's still well crafted and it's a decent perfume and it doesn't do my head in because some of those fougères are a bit oppressive. Too much warmth in the base and it kind of, it feels really heavy and stuff and this doesn't, so I like it. Then today,
cool.
I'm wearing Love and Luck by Ed Hardy.
Is that... the one that is meant to be like one of the creeds.
Millesime Imperial, yeah.
Yes,
it is meant to be like one of those creeds. Now, there's supposed to be huge batch variation with the creeds, as we know.
Yes, indeed.
And even with the Millesime Imperial, it's meant to have changed a lot. The last Millesime Imperial I wore was supposed to be like a good vintage bottle, whatever the fuck that means. But like, I think maybe before it went to a gold bottle, maybe. And I wore it, and I found it a really messy musk. I did, the top notes were like... I remember it being this fresh, lovely, kind of invigorating kind of citrus thing for a while and slightly floral and then into like a musky, warmer base. And I was like, yeah, I've always liked that perfume. Nothing wrong with it. Same with loads of other creeds that are similar to that. This, I wore it the other week, and I was like, this is rubbish. It's really, like, it's not good. It's not good at all, right? And I was really annoyed because
this
I was
is
like,
the Ed Hardy one you're talking about.
The Millesime Imperial.
The Ed Hardy one is not good.
So
oh,
this
right,
is a
okay.
genuine Millesime Imperial from the golden age of like when it first came out or whatever. It's meant to be a good one. And I thought it was shit, right? And that was a sample that I just got just to try because I was like, I haven't tried it for ages. Let's see. And then I got a another version that Rich Mitch sent to us. We got some samples recently with a Millesime Imperial in.
Yes, yes.
And even compared to that, I prefer Love and Luck.
Oh, wow.
Because it's got nicer top notes. It's more fleeting. The bass is clearly not as like strong and pronounced and stuff. But the top notes are better. It smells better. I don't understand. They're like literally like a fiver or something. I don't even know what I paid for Love and Luck. It's a piece of shit. But like, I just think that it's one of those really simple formulas that like took the industry by storm for some reason. And I don't get it. I don't get it. There's not much of a redeeming feature to it. I think it's really sort of tacky. It's not bad. Still wore it and kind of enjoyed it in a sense, but it's not good. And it's like, just hit on something. It's like, they just hit on these things and you're like, why does that resonate and this doesn't? And yeah, it's just weird.
Yup. Yeah, cool. All right. Well, I shall add that. This is turning into an expensive night for me. So I'm now sort of hunting down
Gucci
Poron 2.
You spent about
14
quid. What the fuck are you on about?
No. I think the Gucci is going to cost me a bit more. But then, yeah, the Moubisson, the Loewe, and the Ed Hardy, they sound like things I'll have to buy in the name of science, of course.
Right.
Oh, really? It's quite a cool looking bottle, though. So we are up to date then on the full 14, which brings us to news. And there was some news this week. And apparently, a washed up old hack has decided that he's no longer going to talk about perfume. It is au revoir, bon voyage, so long and see you to Luca Turin. I barely give a shit, but others apparently do. Fliss.
Well, I kind of put this up on my Insta, kind of expecting just people to go, yeah, whatevs. And it actually ended up being one of my most kind of interacted with posts. And there was like a huge... like chat about it, everything varying from I really don't give a fuck all the way through to yes, but. And a lot of the yes, but was about, you know, he was, whatever you have to say, he was the OG influencer. He was writing in print before any of us were writing on, you know, Facebook groups or Insta or whatever. And it's kind of, there's this, the idea that we are all... you know, we're all hacking now, but he started it. Then there was a lot of conversation around him being quite bitter and angry about a lot of stuff, and a lot of his opinions were quite vicious. And then other people just going, well, actually, they were all really funny as well. So there was this kind of mixed bag of kind of, I think, bemused. I think, and when I say bemused, I think the bemusement was about the fact that he had announced his flounce. He flounced. But announced it as opposed to just like, you know, pottering off like a sensible person.
Flounce and bounce.
Just in case he announced his flounce. I think, you know, for me, before Insta and Facebook and all of that stuff, the only thing I had were his books, and he paved the way for other similar books. And for that, I kind of have to say thank you. I think we really dug into it when we did the Tunic Inquisition stuff about maybe he smells better than he writes, or he writes better than he smells, you know, whichever one you prefer. I think whatever you have to say, it's the end of an era, even if that era isn't for you. And it's interesting the amount of people that came out of the woodwork to have an opinion. And I enjoyed their opinions.
What's interesting is that, I sort of jokingly said, like, good riddance and stuff. I respect the guy. I think he, you know, I enjoyed many of his reviews, you know, and I think he's a good writer and stuff. But I think, like, as far as, I mean, I wasn't aware of this, but I haven't seen him around or read anything of his work for ages. And I was talking to Brooke, shout out to Brooke, and she said, well, as far as I know, he hasn't published anything since 2018 anyway. So, like...
That's what I was going to say. I didn't even know he was still around.
Exactly, for him to suddenly come out in, like, 2023, like, fucking pretty much halfway through and go, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm taking me back home and, you know, there's better things to life than... I'm reading between the lines here, obviously, you know, paraphrasing what he said. But, like, he's basically done that. And it's like, well, where have you been, mate? Do you know what I mean? We didn't even know, like, you're so fucking irrelevant now, like, that we don't even know, like... Because he started doing those YouTube videos, which were very good, actually. Oh, shush. He's come in my room. He's puked on the floor, the fucking cat. He must have come in here before. He's puked under my desk, I can see. And now he's fucking win. Nice. He just popped out of a box.
But yeah, I do feel as if a little bit as if he has, you know, he's flounced in at the last minute and gone, by the way, I'm leaving. Thrown his feather boa over his shoulder and swished off. And we were like, were you even here?
Yeah, it's precisely, yeah. He left and then, like, just to make sure we all realised he left, he came back to tell us all that he's leaving.
I'm surprised that there weren't comments like, oh, you're not a fucking airport, mate. A lot of people say that, don't they?
Yeah. Exactly. It's not an airport. There's no need to announce your departure.
Yeah. That said... Darling Luca will always have Theo Fennell. So for that, I thank you.
Yeah, you know. And I'm sort of in... You know, you said it was the end of an era. It's like it was the end of the 2010s. It was like an era that nobody gave a shit about. So, like, you know, if it was the end of the 90s or the end of the 80s, I'd go, oh, yeah, no, I'm interested in that. The end of the 2010s, it was like, nobody cares. I think the whole flounce, the coming back after 5 years to announce that he's flouncing just seems utterly fucking ridiculous to me. Anyway, what can you do? Right, we've been yapping for a good long time now. Any final thoughts?
Can we not talk about the Nasa Mate bottle for Mother's Day?
No, because it's so fucking annoying. Oh, what the fuck is wrong with these people?
I've got some news.
Right, James. We'll talk about the Nasa Mate in a second. James, go on.
Johnny Depp signs $20 million deal for the Dior Sauvage.
Oh.
Apparently re-signed a new three-year deal for $20 million to be the face of Dior Sauvage.
So this is after they dumped him with the whole... thing.
Did they ever really dump
him? No, they didn't really dump him. No one really knew what went on there.
Like, Kylian Mbappe came in for a little bit, didn't he?
That's the same thing as being dumped,
But then they sort of went back to it, didn't they? Maybe they just kind of, like, used Kylian Mbappe just as the short-term sort of plaster whilst all that shit was going on.
Exactly, they were hedging the bets.
Yeah. Will there be a mega pint? That's all I want to know. Will there be a mega pint
of sausage?
A mega pint of wine.
I love a mega pint of sausage.
Lovely. Right. Okay. So that's great. I mean, Johnny Depp has managed to find 20 million quid for,
they're mugs, mate. I'd do that for like 100.
100 quid?
Yeah.
I could have saved you 20 million quid, you dickheads. Well, 19,990,900 pounds, to be sure. Plus, I don't need all the lawyers' fees. You just send me 100 quid in used tenors.
I'll just turn up
when
you want me.
Indeed. Good. Right. So, yes, go on then, Fliss. You want to talk about this?
I don't want to talk about it, but I saw it today because it is Mother's Day and there was just this whole load of shit on. Well, it's not here for the UK, but it is in America. Thank fuck. But in America and in other countries, it's Mother's Day there. And there's been a whole load of like Mother's Day stuff coming up on Insta. And Nasamato have done this advert of their bottle, and we all know about their bottle. But it's got a baby's milk bottle teat on the end. And it says Happy Mother's Day.
Of a penis?
Well, no, in addition to it, it's on the bottom
of. Yeah, don't mix them up.
So you've got the cock on the top and then the baby's bottle at the bottom. There's so much
Maybe
going wrong
just
with
put
it.
A condom
I
on
was
there.
Just like
yeah.
I literally was like
nice.
Just in terms of
So hang
everything
on, sorry.
That's wrong.
It's a double-ended bottle with a cock on one end and a teat on the other.
It looks that way, yeah. There is so much wrong that I'm just like, as a marketing tool, whoever is going to look at that and go, oh yeah, I'll get me a bottle of that for Mother's Day.
Oh.
Just no.
Mum, look what I got you, Mum. Look, just look at that. The fuck is this, son?
I don't know.
Just it came up on me.
Amazon sent me one of them.
But I just feel like the shock factor has just gone.
Cock on the other.
Just through the roof now. That whole. I mean, we've talked about it in the last couple of episodes, but that shock factor of what they're doing is now so distasteful. It's not even funny.
I'm not shocked by it. I'm not remotely shocked by it. It just has such a sort of whiff of kind of desperation to it.
I think that's it, right? Because I'm not like shocked or upset or anything, but I'm almost not moved by it. In fact, I would say I'm not moved by it. But like you are right with the desperation. It's almost like, how can we, like that someone's told them and they like whispered in their ear, like, oh, if you stir up some controversy, that works really well on social media. You know, people will share that. And they've really tried really hard to try and make something controversial or whatever. And instead, well, I suppose they've worked because we're talking about it, so.
Yeah, but, I mean, I'm not going to buy it, and I would certainly not recommend anyone else does. But, I mean, it's the same school of edginess as Aaron Terrence Hughes calling his perfumes things like slag and fanny or whatever they were.
Yeah.
Boss bitch and, you know, slut. Like, really? It's like, what are you? Like, fucking 14 years old, edgelord. It's just ridiculous.
Edgelord.
Like, just fucking grow up. You just want to sort of slap these pricks and say, grow up. It's not, you know, I'm not shocked. I'm not fucking, you know, offended on some level. This isn't, I'm not Mary fucking Whitehouse over here.
Mm.
I just find it just is so childish and so desperately, it's like attention seeking. Someone just needs to give these people a good fucking crack across the chops. That's what I
And with your guns, you're the man to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Check out the guns. Yeah, no, my right gun is currently bleeding profusely, so that's not ideal. Having spent the day getting more tattoos stuck on it, there's now blood and everywhere. So anyway, right, are we done with news? Because I can't talk about Nasamato's double-headed dildo bottle anymore. It's fucking
done.
Right. Okay.
In fact, bottles as well, aren't they? So it's not even a, you know, it's we're talking micro penis on the end of that bottle. Yeah.
Well, there's more dick and teat than there is perfume. I'd hope so.
Probably so more too. Enjoyable.
And on that slightly weird note, yeah. Oh fuck. Yeah. No. Let's just wrap it up before it gets any worse. it's really bad, guys. Okay,
I'm
sorry
I even mentioned it.
Right.
Jesus. I'm sorry if you've had to listen to all of that. Do stick with us. Part two will be better, I promise. We'll be back in just a minute. Stick with us. Oh, Hello and welcome back to part two of Les Odorants. This week we are talking about snobbery, which is a word that I think is going to start sounding increasingly weird the more I say it. Snobbery. Yeah, no, it's already weird. Google, this is how fucking much research I do, by the way. Google, which is where I looked, defines a snob thus: a person with an exaggerated respect for high social position or wealth, who seeks to associate with social superiors and looks down on those regarded as socially inferior. James, are you a snob?
I'd say it's funny listening to the definition because you only... because you can only be a snob if other people feel as though they're on a lower thing. So it could be their perception of it. You're not really being a snob. You're just being your usual fucking self. But because people are at slightly lower status than you, for whatever reason, class, whatever, you know, whatever it might be, then they...
Have you assigned them lower status?
Well, no, I haven't assigned them. I'm just saying, from that definition, that is what it implies, because that is definitely that snobbery has negative, like, connotations. And that's fine if that's what the snobbery is. But it's the... It's the difference between you and somebody else. So if you feel that somebody is on the same level as you, then you're not snobby. You don't come across as being snobby with them. So it's a weird thing, isn't it? You know what I mean?
There's another definition here, which is one who is convinced of his or her superiority in matters of taste or intellect.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm getting at, though?
I do.
The snobbery wouldn't necessarily exist if, like, there wasn't a person to feel it. You know.
Yes, I get what you're saying. I mean, let's go around the houses and see whether people think of themselves as snobs or not. Fliss, do you think of yourself? We should probably just interject the word perfume. It's, you know, perfume snob. We're not talking about, you know, your general snobbishness or otherwise.
Yes, I think that there has been huge periods of my collecting life where I have definitely indulged in snobbery in various forms. And now I'm currently at a place where I am so snobby about designer stuff that despite going into Boots or I walk past the perfume shop three times a week. Have I ever gone in since I've lived here? No. I walk into Boots once a week. Do I ever sniff a single frag that's in there? Even though there are tons there that I don't know, do I sniff a single one? No, because I'm a snob when it comes to designer frags. Hands up. I am.
Hands up. Take me away. You can arrest me, Your Honour. Excellent. Okay, so yeah, you freely admit to snobbery. James, yeah. James was equivocating, I think.
I don't know what I was going on about, but no. Am I a snob? I'll answer you. I'm being a bit of a fucking politician here. Yes, I probably have engaged in snobbery once or twice.
Sorry. I've engaged in snobbery. Yes. Well, there was one incident where I did engage in a little snobbery, but it's not really a lifestyle choice. No. Ben, are you a snob?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's all relative, isn't it? But, I mean, yes.
I don't think I am. By the way,
really?
I mean, people have said I am, but you know they're fucking peasants, so so their opinion is worth fuck and all, as Ben so politely put it. I think that the main sort of point of being a perfume snob is this kind of thing where, you know, you will only, you know, you limit your behavior because of some sort of perceived social status. And often that results in limiting your behavior to not wearing or trying designer perfumes a la Fliss, or not being prepared to wear something that doesn't cost a certain amount because of a perceived status. And I'm sort of, I feel like I don't really care that much where it comes from. I'm happy to wear really cheap perfume if I think it's really good, you know?
And totally.
That's it.
Totally. I mean, my snobbishness is kind of a weird snobbishness, because I will seek out those amazing bottles that cost 20 quid, like, you know, Paul Smith Rose, or, you know, slightly dodgy Dana Taboo, you know. But there's a load of stuff that's 20 quid in my collection that I will happily trumpet and tell people about. But there's, when people say to me, oh, what's your hobby, or I might mention that I've got to go and record a podcast, I go, oh, what are your podcast about? And I go, perfume. And they go, oh. And I kind of have a strap line for myself, which is, hang on, if you can buy it in Boots, I'm probably not wearing it. I don't say those exact words. I don't say those exact words, but it, as a kind of caveat to what they think that I'm interested in, it's like, not like that, babes. It's not like that. And within my explanation of what I love about perfume, this kind of accidental snobbery has happened, and now I'm kind of living it. And if it's in Boots, I don't buy it.
but it's not about status. It's not like, no. So I'm the same. I'm exactly the same. I think I don't care about designer perfumes. The last designer perfume I smelled, I hated, and I couldn't give two shits about what new thing Diesel was released this year, like for Christmas, because it's probably going to be shit. Why I would caveat my snobbishness is that it's nothing to do with status or class or price or anything. It's everything to do with the fact that modern designer perfumes just do absolutely fuck all for me, because it's all shit. And it's just... And
is,
I think
it all shit, or are you just a snob?
Wow.
Both. I think it's both. See, that's the thing. I think I am a snob to a degree, because I don't really care to give it the time to investigate.
No.
But it is shit. Like, I know, like, I don't need to give it the time to investigate, because I know it will be shit.
I've got a whole heap of samples. I've got a whole heap of samples right on my desk. Like Valentino, C, Black Opium, Eternity for Woman, J'adore, Parfum d'Eau, all of this shit. And I'm just like, they've all kind of like, they've come to me within other swaps. And I put them to one side. And there's a little box of designer testers that I just am never, ever going to test. Just because they've got those designer labels on them, I'm like, nah.
So am I gonna like totally like go against myself now and say that actually, what's the Valentino? Because the one of those ones that came out recently was quite good.
It was quite good,
It would not be like out
Born
of
in Roma. That's it, yeah. Like Born in Roma. I quite like that.
Well, I just to come back to something Fliss was saying before, I can't really remember. It was like other people's perception when you say you're into perfume, or you were talking about doing a podcast. So they kind of project their own sort of like insecurity, or like they think that you're, oh, you're that perfume like person, you'll be dead. Like they'll say something like, oh, I wear like Bleu de Chanel. Bet you think that's shit, don't you? Or like, you know, that's like fucking, and it's like, no, I don't think any of that's, it is shit, by the way. And you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. But no, it's not shit. But no, that's a bad example. But people kind of like say that stuff. They expect you to be more of a snob than you actually are. You're like, no, I've got shit that was like fucking £4 that I love. Do you know what I mean? That's excellent and I could appreciate. So no, from that perspective, I'm not a snob. But from certain things that I moan, like, you know, seemingly are moaning about with perfumery, maybe some people would categorize me as a snob. Mm-hmm. And they might be right, you know? And I feel that snobbishness, and sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's a good thing to have. That means you have standards. You've got like certain qualities that you won't, like even just like certain brands that I see that are too many fucking people have been given this for free or whatever. It like, again, not to keep coming back to that, but it sort of cheapens the brand for me and goes, no, maybe I would have given you a chance, but now I'm kind of like, no, fuck you. And then sometimes I might return to it and be like, oh, no, you know, it's all right or whatever. I don't know.
Things that have got like, for me, I'm really snobby about, like in an anti-snob way, any bottle that's got too many crystals on it. I'm just like, no.
Yeah.
And there's a reason that I stayed away from Mr. Dove for a long time, because I just think his packaging looks a bit cheap. So, now so that, I know there's still, some lovely things in there. But
that's still snobbery.
Yes, it is. It absolutely is. Absolutely. That's what I'm saying.
And actually, you know, I think on reflection, whilst I'm sort of quite happy to sort of take a democratic approach to perfume where I will wear stuff that's cheap, I mean, the reality is I do enjoy finding some sort of rare, discontinued treasure or wearing something incredibly expensive, knowing that there's almost no chance of me running into anyone else, certainly not in my own house, wearing that perfume. Not that I ever go out anywhere, but which is sort of pointless. But I guess there's a sort of snobbery, but it's not as linear and obvious as just kind of, hey, this is expensive, so look at my fucking shiny possessions. I think the snobbery that I do have is the same snobbery that I have in every regard of my life, and it's an intellectual snobbery. I am not the smartest person in the entire universe. I don't believe that for a second, but I fucking hate stupidity and like stupid behavior. That said, I obviously waste all my money on perfume, so that's arguably a stupid behavior. But
I thought you were going to say, I'm not the smartest person in the universe, but I am the smartest person in any room.
ever. Well, no, I'm seldom the smartest person in any room. Most of the rooms I'm in at work are filled with kind of like brilliant fucking savants who kind of know technology kind of inside out, and I can't keep up with them. At
and when you're at home, your wife's there, so she's very, very smart.
She's smart, and she has a reasonable tolerance for my bullshit, though, as she'd have to. I find the thoughtlessness that people I'm quite snobbish about the thoughtlessness that some people sort of take around perfume, particularly, you know, I don't mind that people who, you know, Joe Bloggs in the fucking street doesn't think about perfume. That doesn't bother me at all. You know, I don't expect everyone to go around with perfume on their brain. It's the people who claim to be into perfume that are thoughtless about it that I'm quite snobby about. Does that make any sense at all, what I'm saying there?
I want to present a situation, right, and just see what you how you feel about it. Like you're in a shop or something, like walking along the street, and a guy walks past you, or you know, a girl, whatever, and they're wearing a perfume that's so fucking basic, it's unreal. Like, does that make you instantly want to just smash their skull in with a like, 2x4, or do you just carry on with your day?
I'm more interested in your answer than mine, to be honest, Ben.
I want to smash their skull in.
Yes, I sort of thought that might be your answer, Ben, yeah. Okay, no, I very seldom want to commit violence upon people because of their perfume. Okay.
Is that just me then?
maybe. Yeah.
I don't know though. Sometimes you can like, yeah, I know what you mean though, Ben. Sometimes you're just like, oh God, is that what you're going to smell like today? That's just really uninteresting. It annoys me in a way because like the other day I was walking to the shop, there was a guy that smelled fantastic. And I said to him, oh my goodness, he was wafting towards me in the wind and his wife was standing next to him. So I wasn't going to be weird. I said, you smell great. And he went, oh, my wife's just given me this. And he couldn't remember the name of it, which is a bit sad. But it was a delight to be able to pass a compliment on to someone who clearly his wife had given him this lovely perfume and he did smell great. And I was really interested in what he smelled like. Mm. In the same way, you can go into a shop and you can stand behind someone and you're just like, oh, it's Sauvage again. Yeah. And I find
it's a bit like listening to loud music in cars. The people that do it are always doing the shittest thing. So, like, people listen to loud music in cars.
You've always got the fucking indicator on.
Well, people listen to loud music in cars, listen to shit, you know, music. And people who wear, like, perfume that you can smell on the other side of the street are always wearing Sauvage. It's just the laws of the universe, isn't it?
These are
that's kind of how it works.
Ben's axioms, the basic tenets of life as we know it.
It's a bit of a kind of like loud, like it's like a foghorn. It's like a warning, isn't it? Mm. You know what I mean? Like, stay away from this person.
Yeah.
Red flag.
It's clearly, yeah. Yeah.
It's an old battery, now we are not all proving flag. Our snobbery right now.
But we are, I mean, basically, if I was still single, if I wasn't married, and we talk, we have this kind of like this running joke about panty droppers.
Breaking There's hearts breaking across the world now.
You didn't tell us that that fella's wife was trying to speak to you and you were just like...
What I'm saying is...
Scratch your eyeballs out.
It's that... We talk about panty droppers and stuff, but there's like an anti-panty... Well, no, but, you know... There's an anti-panty dropper. There's an anti-panty dropper, as far as I'm concerned. Because it's almost like you can smell someone and just like, oh, sweet Jesus, no. And I don't think, you know, all of those YouTube guys that do their 10 frags that are going to make your ladies drop their panties realise that for some people there's an anti-panty dropper.
I think that's so the top 10 lists, right, and the top fives, five niche houses for life and that kind of thing. I sort of enjoy composing lists occasionally, but it's and I don't mind people sharing the odd list, but it's the sort of intellectual kind of banality of just vomiting out the same top 10 list. And Ben was talking about, you know, the top 10 fucking Bleu de Chanel's last week, and
I mean, Bleu de Chanel's.
I forget what her name is, Monica something or other, but she does this, and it's just, to me, it's kind of intellectually fucking empty.
Lazy.
Yeah, it's lazy. It's devoid of any creativity, and that's where I am snobby, I'm afraid. I am very snobby about that behaviour. But I don't care if your perfume, you know, costs £5,000 or £100. Although I should say, I do know people who spend £5,000 on a perfume, right? And which you know, it's hard to understand that. But weirdly, the people that I do know that do this are super secretive about that.
Yeah.
They don't tell people, right? And
would you? Fuck me.
Yeah, but it's not. It is
what
not.
What a daft move.
Yeah, but it's not like a fucking... To them, it's not a flex, because in order for it to be a flex, you have to sort of show it off, right? It's, other people have to know. Actually, you know, got into sort of conversation with people and they tell me, oh, you know, have you ever tried this, tried that, whatever, and you eventually work out that they own these particular things. You go, fuck me. So like some of the Henri Jacques ones that come in the little crystal toupies, they cost £5,000 or £6,000 for 50 mil of oil, which is mental money. I mean, it's fucking...
But then
insanity.
A lot of the ouds as well, you know, there's like a gram of this or a gram of that, and it soon adds up.
Well, oud is a snobby area too, I think. I quite like an oud, but, you know, I don't know, is it snobbery or what? Go on,
well,
sorry,
I
James.
I don't want to disrail this...
Disrail?
This conversation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just don't know what I'm doing.
None of us do.
Yeah, I don't want to derail the conversation, but I think, like, I am a snob. I admit it. In so much as not kind of to do with our collections or like friends. I'm more of a snob when it comes to like my Instagram or like the content that I like create or whatever. That arbiter shtick that you get on here that, oh, I'm the... I do actually, like, fundamentally, there's, like, an underlying ego that does think that.
Yeah.
It does think that I am the arbiter. And, like, I think, like, 90-odd percent of people's opinions, I'm like, you're shit at smelling perfumes.
You're shit at smelling perfumes.
I'm better than you. Do you know... This is ridiculous, right? I don't know if you ever watched Game of Thrones.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course.
From like the first series, there was a bit with Lily Allen's fucking brother. And when do you know that bit where he's like fingering his sister on a horse?
Yes. Yeah, well, he doesn't know it's his sister at that point.
He doesn't know it's his sister at the time, but, you know, still. And she's quite game for it, really, for she knows the score. But he goes, I'm a better rider than you. And I just thought it was really funny, right? And
where are you going with this, James?
I don't even fucking know, right? There's like this thing of like, I don't even know why I brought that up in the first place.
You just wanted to share that scene.
No, it wasn't that. It was like the fact that I'm trying to say, oh, like I'm a better like sniffer than you, and he's saying I'm a better like horse, right? Just like the most petty. Like I am actually a bit like that inside.
Yeah.
And I get this look. I'm a perfume sniffer than you. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's what I'm trying to say. Anyway, carry on.
I'm a better perfume sniffer than you. Yeah. Yes.
So,
well, I'm fingering my sister on the ass.
God!
I was hoping to jump in before we sort of got to that bit. I thought, yeah, thought
I
we might
had.
Go and rescue
I
that.
I wish you had, but there you go.
Sorry, Ben. Say something.
I think like my.
No, Ben's going to tell us about how
he's. Yeah,
I
was going to say, relying on me to say something normal is. No,
what happens is I do a stupid anecdote and then Ben shares like a really dark one about himself. And then that's how we roll.
I've only ever fingered my sister on a horse once. Oh, is how it's about to start, right?
Never fingered. I can't even say the sentence. Let's just move on, right? Before I throw up.
Have you got a sister?
I have, and I did.
Yeah, see, he's got a sister, which is why he can't say it. I don't have a sister,
right,
so.
I see.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Moving on.
But
moving
my snobbishness, I think, is actually more along the lines of what Dan's saying, in that it's sort of intellectual snobbery where I look at it and it's I do not. Like this whole thing with like status, money, and like none of that matters to me. I don't care. Mm. Couldn't give two shits about the cost of any perfume at all. And in fact, what I'll come back to in a minute is almost this. I have a degree of like reverse snobbery almost. But I do think like my snobbery comes down to the fact that I think that there are perfumes that are shit, and some people need to be told that, but my perfumes, my taste isn't that. My taste is fantastic. Yeah. You know, I and the perfumes that I own are all brilliant because I like them, and what I like is better than what most.
And my
£20
perfume is better than your £20 perfumes, my £150 perfume is better than your £150 perfumes. All my perfumes are better than your perfumes.
But,
thank you and good night.
That's exactly what I was saying. Everybody should be confident in their own fucking taste and what they love.
But interestingly, like what you said a bit earlier, James, about I think it was you know, Zerjoff and giving away free perfumes and free bottles and stuff. I get so and I felt it earlier, and so I thought I'd save it for this half. But you know, in the first half of this episode, I talked about a Zerjoff that I'd smelt this week. I feel some element of cringe about saying, "Oh, I've been wearing a Zerjoff this week." Because my feelings on that brand are the complete polar opposite of snobbery. Like, I feel embarrassed to own Zerjoff because they're a kind of trash brand. Because when you look on social media, they've cheapened themselves by giving free bottles to, like, anyone and everyone that will take them, who write awful social media posts opining, like, the latest release with, like, flowery, ridiculous thesaurus language. They clearly don't know how to put two words together. They're just smashing, like, weird words together. Coming up with these peculiar posts. And now the brand is just shit to me. It's like, you know, I look at Zerjoff and it's just tacky.
Yeah.
And so like when I say like I was wearing a Zerjoff, I literally inside am dying because I'm going like, God, what does everyone think of me? Everyone must think my taste is shit. And equally, I look at people who buy a lot of Rogers and I just think, jokes. And the flexes of the Rogers just crack me up because I just think, God, what a cunt. Like, okay, so you spent a lot of money, but you've got no class. And whenever I see people flexing Rogers, I think, yeah, money can buy you a lot of things, but it can't buy you taste. And it's the difference between people that buy fashion and people who are stylish. There's a big difference. And I feel like a lot of people who buy Rogers and buying fashion, but they've got no fucking taste or style.
I think that hits the nail on the head.
So is that snobbery? I don't know.
Well, the intellectual snobbery rule I think applies. What bothers me most about sort of fanboys of any particular brand is that people,
apart from Les Odorants.
Apart from less utterance, of course, is that people sort of lose any critical faculties. They sort of surrender to this idea that everything about this thing with which they identify, this brand, whatever it is brilliant and unassailable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's how you end up with dickheads. Right? Well, it's true. People who just lack any critical faculty. Well, I quite like some Zirjoff perfumes. I have, I think, 4 or 5 Zirjoff perfumes, which range between quite liking and really, really, really fucking liking. There are some good ones. But this idea that any one brand, particularly Zirjoff, by the way, who has vomited out more kind of releases than you know, I've had hot dinners in the last 10 years, can the idea that all of this stuff can somehow be a masterpiece and brilliant is just kind of, it just says that you are intellectually fucking numb. If that's what you believe, it means you don't know anything about perfume. You've just surrendered your fucking identity to this brand. It's pathetic. Yes, I am a snob.
The thing is, so when you look at Zirjoff as a brand as well, like, they are kind of intellectually void, aren't they? They don't really have any heritage. They've basically squirmed their way into the luxury sector. They're only really a step down from Creed, in my opinion. As far as kind of like fake, inauthentic, tacky brands go. But I do like some of their perfumes. Well, obviously,
quite a few of them, yeah.
But I don't know. But then is that snobbery again, like talking about Zirjoff like their shit just because, you know, of all these things? I don't know.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's snobbery to kind of, I guess, try and, I suppose, dismiss an entire brand or style or niche or whatever it is based purely on some sort of perceived status. I think it's easier just to say it's the people who have like a total fucking blind spot and just, you know, they cannot accept that anything this brand does is anything other than incredible. Those are the idiots, in my view. I mean, the brand I can take or leave. I agree with everything you said, by the way. I think it is pretty tacky and the faux sort of luxury is bleh. It's a bit bleh. Don't care. Anyway, what else? What other snobbishness can we unleash upon our unsuspecting listeners?
I feel like as Les Odorants, you know, we started this podcast, even if you look at our like kind of mission statement, if we had one, it was to be a little bit more like long form and have like discussions that are a little bit more like in depth and thought of than top 10 Fleur de Chanel's for summer or whatever. But does that make a snobbish bitch? Because do the YouTubers, do they have their plates, I guess?
Sorry,
you know, I mean, clearly they do because people watch them, fucking God knows why, but...
I think even the YouTubers have been sort of, it's been kind of usurped by like TikTok and those kind of like YouTube shorts and shit like that, right? Where people don't have the attention span. And I was always one who was like, don't make your YouTube videos too long, because if you haven't got loads and loads of interesting stuff to say, it's just going to be fucking boring. And my attention span, if I'm not like grabbed or engaged by somebody, then fine. So I don't even think it's really the YouTubers, because I don't particularly... YouTube has never really been a place that I've gone for fragrance stuff. I would much rather read a review, cleverly written or wittily written or whatever, by somebody, than I would sit there and watch a video of them, even if they were equally as charming and entertaining and whatever on the video. And that's kind of saying something, because I am much more of a visual person than I am a book reader. Do you know what I mean? I'm like a film watcher, you know?
That's so interesting, because I agree with you, James. Yeah, I think that when I look at, if I'm looking at a perfume to blind buy or just to be interested in, I absolutely go to long-standing bloggers as opposed to go to YouTube and search it on YouTube. So, you know, there's a number of people who write extensively that I will check out first.
Even just to come back to the snobbery, I won't even do that. It's not like what you've just said there is like, oh, if I want to check out a perfume and I want to see. Sometimes, yeah, I will see. I'm not completely devoted to that. But I'm like, I don't even care what other people have got to say about it. That's how much of a fucking snob I am, right? That it's like, I could be interested in it and I could, you know, take it in or whatever, or listen to other people. It's not that I'm like, I don't even go to it for that. That's not what I need to take from it. It's interesting to hear somebody else's perspective always, right? Even if they're, you know, I think they're wrong, or I think like they don't know what they're talking about or whatever. It's still interesting to, you know, listen to it sometimes. But I think I'm even that, like, it's not like my kind of level of like snobbery is that even if I've like consumed somebody's like article or whatever, I'm still like, not as good as mine. No, I'm not really. No, but I'm just like, I've got beyond the point. Like, I don't know when it was. Like, I'm still involved in this community, and I'm still like supposed to be kind of, you know, it's supposed to be an exchange of like people's things. But I genuinely don't really read people's thing with that in mind. Like, I don't go out to seek their opinion on something before I get mine. It's almost like a spoiler. Do you know what I mean? I'm kind of like, oh, I don't necessarily want to hear about a perfume that I haven't. So I'm even more of a fucking snob in that regard, because I don't even seek out the media to, like, you know, to get opinions on stuff before I try it.
So what about the hierarchy then between of Fragrantica and Base Notes? Like, Base Notes is sort of a more like respected platform for reviews for me than Fragrantica. Like,
oh, Fragrantica's just, might as well just fuck off.
And sort of about snobbishness, I tend to look at Fragrantica and I'll read a review, because I'm like the same as you, James. I don't watch YouTube videos anymore. I just fuck it. I'd rather read like 10 reviews and collate the opinions. But generally speaking, I will collate the opinions, and if they're bad and they're full of people saying, I don't like this, it's shit, how can anyone wear this, it's disgusting,
then you're going by the perfume.
Yeah, because I think probably this is pretty good then, because all of these cunts have got no taste compared to me.
Yeah.
And so that's not...
What do you think about someone like Parfumo or something like that then? Or...
Oh, I like Parfumo. Yeah, I think it's actually one step higher than Base Notes.
I was about to say, that's higher than Base Notes, isn't it? But then there's some bloggers as well that I think, so like people like
Persolet,
Bois de Jasmine, Saf Le Bon, all of that stuff.
I think Saf Le Bon is shit. I think they're awful.
Saf Le Bon is shit.
They're just filler. Like, whenever I look for a review and find theirs, I always feel like they're just like the thesaurus stuffers. Do you know, like, they're just
Get me started.
They post
on them,
a picture,
right,
of some weird like 18th century artwork, and then fucking like, oh yeah, it's just like this 18th century artwork, and let me just fill it full of this flowery language.
ChatGPT,
no,
give me 1,000 words on this fucking perfume.
Yeah. Well, and then at the end, oh, by the way, we're giving away the sample, comment below. And I just think, how the fuck are you respected? Because this was trash. I came away from this review with nothing.
I feel like I must be a bit of a pleb now, because I'm still noodling around on Fragrantica. It's my go-to for most things. But mostly not because I want to read the reviews, actually, just because it's the quickest and easiest way for me to find out what the notes in a given perfume are. So that's all I'm really that interested in.
Just on that, I hate Fragrantica. I think it's rubbish compared to Base Notes. Base Notes was the first one that I started on. But again, you know, I had a few altercations with people and, you know, got like banned and had to do a different account. But anyway, so that was like years and years ago. But then like now, I went on Fragrantica when that kind of like was in its sort of infancy. And then I've just always gone on Fragrantica because the interface looks nicer. It's a bit easier to navigate than other websites. That was the only reason that I had a preference for it. However, the people who are on there are like the most knuckle-dragging fucking morons in the sorry everybody, but in the like forums and everything, they're just fucking idiots, man. There's no like, there's a few hardcore people on there who are okay. Everybody's got like an alternate thing, but bass notes tends to be a little bit more kind of knowledgeable. I don't know what that
I do think it's gone downhill. It used to be, I think Fragmentica used to be better than it is now. What annoys me on Fragmentica, and I'm snobby about, is when people go, oh, I haven't tried it yet, but I bought it last week. I'll report back when I do.
No. Well,
why
allow me to.
Time?
Why is that?
allow me to hold my breath.
Exactly. Oh, right. Oh, exactly. Okay. I was like, oh, well, now you've written that, I can't fucking wait, babe.
On that usability note, and this is sort of going slightly off topic, so I won't go too far, but bass notes, has anyone been on it recently? Because they have abused their forum to the pieces. It's unusable at this point. Every three posts, there's an advert. So you get three topics, advert. Three topics, advert. So if you want to scroll their forum, it's unusable. They've completely made unusable by greed.
So on the subject of reviews and such, one of my least favourite things, which I'm sort of quite snobby about, is where people reach for knowledge that they don't have. People sort of claim to know more than they do. And I'm quite sort of... I try and be quite upfront about this, right, that I don't really know a great deal about perfume. I know more than the average twat in the street, but I don't really know a great deal about perfume. I just like lots of perfumes, and I've had the opportunity to smell a lot of them, and so I've developed some basic thoughts around it. The old electrons are shooting, as Ben said. That's right. You know, the synapses, they're just kind of like popping off and stuff. But it's when people sort of pretend to know more than they do.
Is this the genesis of your Aaron Terence Hughes hate?
Do you know what? I think actually it might be. It might be. This is, I find... So what bothers me most about Aaron Terence Hughes is the embellishment. You know, it's not enough for him to just say, I did a degree in chemistry and then I moved into making perfumes and I found I quite enjoyed it and I've made some nice ones. Here's my perfumes. No, he has to create this entirely fucking exaggerated narrative about everything, that he's some sort of perfume savant. But it's not just him. So I was looking at an advert the other day that came up for, we mentioned in last week's episode, this clone house, this shitty clone house, where is it? I used to be dumb, innit? And now I'm smart. And it's a bit like Ali G sounding. And I was looking at one of their adverts and someone had, it was like, do you want to buy this or buy that? And it was a picture of, their Aventus clone versus Aventus, and someone had written it's brilliant, just said ambergris, folks, look it up, and that was their comment, like, oh my god, this person's so clever, they've heard of ambergris, and that's the difference. It's just I've immediately felt sort of icky and, not quite moved to violence in the same way that Ben does, but certainly kind of grossed out and definitely I felt intellectually somewhat snobby at that point.
Do you think it's safe to say that mostly all of our snobbishness comes from an area where it's just because we're really into this subject and I think everyone becomes a sort of a snob about the subjects that they're into. Like, I've always had it and always hung around people that do it. Like, with sort of like, music, art, writing, everything. Like, it just seems to be that.
It's exactly the same.
The more you get into it, the more snobby you become, almost by default, just because you've amassed a degree of knowledge that you perceive as more than others. So therefore you sort of become this sort of snob because you sort of can't help but look down on other people who have somehow put less time in or whatever.
So, yes, right. I say absolutely yes. But there is a counter to that, which is that I find it terribly rewarding to get people into perfume. And I think the idea of snobbishness is about elevating your own personal sort of status and standing. You know, almost like pulling a true snob would, I think, want to pull the ladder up behind them. You know, this is mine. This is my area. I've filled it up. You can fuck off. You're a fucking povo. But actually, I rather like getting people into perfume.
I think if you got someone into it, though, and then they became more of a snob and they started slagging off stuff that you liked and started going, you'd be like, I fucking made you.
I created you.
Wouldn't you? Exactly. I could destroy you as well.
Yeah. Yeah, you were working as a waitress in a cocktail bar.
Yeah.
Exactly that. Yes. Yeah, no, I think there's probably some truth to that. Yeah. It's not happened yet.
We're all like that. We're all fucking horrible, aren't we?
We're all just... Yeah, well... what a reassuring note that is. We're all just horrible. Welcome to Les Odorants. We're all horrible cunts.
So I would like... I think I would sort of disagree with that. Because I think, yeah, we are sort of all horrible about it, but... We also admit our limitations. Do you know what I mean? Like, we all admit that we're all pretty fucking shit, really, at this sniffing business. Do you know what I mean? We're just a bunch of amateur, apart from James, maybe. We all say we're just a bunch of amateur huffers that don't know what we're fucking talking about.
That's true. Thanks, Ben. But the thing is, right? Yeah, what you're saying is absolutely right. And sometimes I think to myself, How can you determine with your flowery fucking review, how can you determine all these different things that I can't? And it's not even like, oh, you can and I can't, and I don't think that people are capable of doing that. They are, but certain people that I know just aren't. Right? And I'm like, there's that level of like snobbery where you're like, I don't think you understand enough about the fundamentals and the materials and whatever. And you don't have to know that stuff. Don't get me wrong. To be a really good reviewer and a really good commenter on fragrance. Some of my favorite writers, like Centosaurs, right? Shout out to Katie, yeah? Centosaurs, she writes a review and she doesn't even mention notes or you wouldn't even know it was about perfume, right? And you just read it and you're like, oh my God, this is like the best. It's just like genius fucking people like that. And it still conveys the perfume to you. But in a way that you would never even think in your life. Yeah, and it's really like, you know, shit like that's really rewarding. It's fucking art, right? It's art surrounding the art that I already love. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like, I love that people are creating like really interesting like content. They don't even know they're doing it. They're not even doing it to create like content a lot of the time. They're just doing it because that's who they are. And that's their response to... some art like happened to them and that was the response. They like created some fucking art.
That's interesting. I think I'm also quite snobby about the content that I follow, and there's a number of, I'm going to be honest now, there's a number of people I follow on Insta that I don't follow because I've muted them because I'm bored of the blandness of their content. And there's other people who I have starred, people like Lovers Ascent, who just, her photographs are exquisite. Her collection is exquisite. She's got beautiful taste. She writes intelligently. For me, there's a different quality to the artistic nature and her creativity around her response to perfume that makes me go, yep, I'm going to star that. I'm going to star that content creator.
Have you muted me?
Of course not, darling. You're starred. You're triple starred.
Triple starred.
And if you don't come up quickly enough, I search for you.
Oh, well, this is reassuring. This is heartening. this is heartening. I am heartened. Excellent. Okay, in what other ways are we horrible? I'm finding this episode all a bit depressing. It turns out that you know, we're all horrible cunts, and I'm kind of...
I'm fine with that.
I'm a bit saddened.
No, I'm completely fine being a horrible cunt. And if you want to wear your shit pepper around my house, I'll happily batter your skull in with, like...
Don't come round my house with that horrible shit. So apart from the obvious Bleu de Chanel and Sauvage, is there a perfume that someone would wear that would make you go, yeah, you are a worse person than me?
Any Creed.
Oh, really?
yeah.
Well, that's me, double fuck, isn't it?
I can't batter your skull in, though, Dan, so don't worry about that.
I'd have no chance.
Sorry, James, say something sensible.
I've just thought about something Ben said right there for a second. So it's not sensible.
Hang on a minute.
So,
that is sensible. Creed is shit.
Let's do something nice. Let's stop talking about what arseholes we are. In what way are you not snobby? I mean, I personally love sending people kind of samples and stuff to try and trying to fucking, you know, democratize it a bit and get people into niche stuff that I like. And I do take your point, you know, James, if they ever became, you know, more powerful than me, I would have to strike them down. You know, I'd have to fuck them up for being like bigger and more impressive than me. But in the meantime, I like bringing people up from a zero base to a level just below me, I think.
Yeah. In all seriousness, I'm joking around saying that, but obviously we all have those little hang-ups. However, I do think that, like, it is fun to introduce people into the hobby. And it's not even introducing them. Like, we've got some, like, friends of, like, the kids, because obviously they all go to school together now and we're all, like, in a WhatsApp group together, and it's all nice that all the kids, like, hang around together and, like, different people can do different activities and stuff. And some of the other dads, one of them works in the perfume industry. One of them just wears loads of perfume and loves perfume. He's like, you're the perfume guy, aren't you? And started just like coming. And I was like, wow, like, obviously it gets around. And it's interesting because they're not even people who are like new to it. They already know stuff. And like, it's interesting to meet kind of people who are outside of the usual suspects in the community, if you like, the people who are sort of vocal and speak to you online and stuff. Because there's loads of people who are fanatical who don't do that. As like me and Fliss and whoever else know that it hasn't always been about like social media. It's like there was a time, not before that, but well, there was a time before that, obviously. But like, it's not the sort of be all and end all. I don't know. It's a different landscape now, and it's changing all the time. I guess that's it.
I mean, I think like my snobbery really ends when, you know, I stop being hyperbolic and really I'll wear any old shit, like, you know, like, and I don't really care. And as much as I kind of like, I do have those feelings, like everything I've said, it's not, I'm not lying. Everything I've said, I do feel on a level, but it's not a very serious level. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not going to keep me up at night. You know, when I walk past the guy on the street wearing the shit perfume, I might fantasize about murdering him. It's gone two steps later. Do you know what I mean? It's not serious.
Fantasize about it a bit.
So the FBI don't need to come to my house. Like, it's not serious. No, you know, none of it's serious. Like, and I'm aware that I don't know fuck all about perfume, really. You know, outside of my own experiences, like, I know nothing. And, you know,
I think it's been interesting, though, to kind of like deconstruct your own headspace around this, because it's really easy to go, oh, I'm not snobby, I've got a 20 quid bottle of this, but actually maybe you are a little bit. And that's kind of interesting to kind of even just to air, is like, oh, okay, it's nice to know your own foibles. I think
the thing I'm definitely not snobbish about is like status or brands, because perfume has never been about status for me anyway. And so I really don't care about any of that stuff.
Like, I take great joy in sharing cheap good ones or whatever, you know.
Do you think it's like, because you said about, like, we've said this a few times now, and I say it, everyone says it, that, oh, we don't know all that much about perfume, etc. What do you mean by knowing about perfume? Do you mean like knowing about the history of the perfume or the notes, or do you mean like knowing about it in terms of like the smell and your perception of the perfume, or knowing about it, like, emotionally? Like, how does it, like, connect with your, like, feelings and shit? Like, all of those things. Like, what is knowing about perfume? Maybe that's, like, I don't know, another stupidly kind of, like,
it's quite a philosophical question.
But the moment you lay it out like that, it's like, well, I basically don't know anything at all other than what I like. And then,
yeah.
And then my snobbishness is just literally my taste. It's like, we laugh.
It comes back, that's where it all comes back to, your personal taste, which is no way of judging other people's, like, that's why there can't be like a hierarchy of it. There can to some degree. But, like, there's so many factors that go into it that, like, it becomes, like, a bit, it just purely does come down to taste. And then when you're saying that other people's taste is bad, that's where, like, some people have a problem. They're like, oh, I don't mind people saying I don't like them doing this kind of content or I don't like them doing that. But when I differ in taste, you can't, like, slag somebody off for that because it's, but I think you can.
No,
I'm going to stick my flag in for you. You can. You can do that.
Yes, I think you can. I think you can. I think, some people just have shitty taste, you know. It's just a fact.
It's not their fault.
No. They were just born with, you know, lower social worth. It's not really their fault. I was thinking, I don't know. At various points, people have levelled at me the suggestion that I am terribly snobby because I gravitate towards expensive perfumes, right? If it's, I think I'm probably. I'm probably not too fucking proud to admit that when something is expensive, you know, I am at least kind of, my interest is somewhat piqued. And I'll be like,
reassuringly expensive, I think they call that.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, expensive stuff, I don't know, there is maybe a bit of kind of exclusivity thing to it, and hey, you know, I've got this thing that nobody else has or whatever, and maybe that is snobbishness. I don't really care, but I guess you know, throughout all of it, my kind of motivation does still remain that I really like the perfume. I don't own any perfumes that are expensive just because they're fucking expensive, you know. I wouldn't own something I didn't like just because it was expensive. But as usual, I feel like we've not really massively moved the dial on this debate. I think we're probably all agreed we are snobs. We are snobs in some way, but actually the reality is that pretty well anybody who's enthusiastic about anything is in some sense a snob. You know, they're going to end up becoming snobby and possessive and territorial about their particular taste.
In a week that we've seen the biggest snob of all, Luca Turin, fucking basically like commit fucking harikari on, you know, online, I'll just say, you know, RIP to the fucking snobbishness, and let's let it die with Turin. And, you know, that's it. We're all snobs to a degree. We're all hypocrites to a fucking degree.
Oh yeah, no, that's absolutely true. Everybody,
let's just, you know,
everybody,
let's
is
all
a hypocrite.
Fucking get along.
No,
but we can't stop reviewing, otherwise we won't be a podcast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But Turin has stopped because he's dead.
Yeah. So
let's
well,
just
he's
get
certainly,
that out
he's
there.
Certainly dead to us. Anywho.
Yeah, he's dead to us.
Right. Well, I feel like it's been a thoroughly enjoyable debate. I am baffled as to how we got onto the subject of, you know, sister fingering. Frankly, there's no better way. I don't really know how that happened, but I blame James. And I'm glad that no one shat in their pants this week. So
this week,
yeah. So you know, it's been Swings and roundabouts, as they say. Swings and roundabouts. Any final thoughts on being a snobby cunt, Ben?
No, I think I'll try and maybe I'll use this episode to endeavour to change, but it probably won't happen. So if you've got bad taste,
what are you going
to
change?
Just be careful around me, really, because apparently prone to violence.
Indeed, yes. I think violence committed upon people with bad taste is absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Fliss, final thoughts from you?
My final thoughts are that I still have impeccable taste. And if you don't, I'm really sorry about that.
Well, taste is like... taste is like fucking... nobody thinks they are... So nobody thinks they are a bad person. Nobody thinks they have bad taste, and nobody thinks they're an idiot. Yet statistically, most people are all three.
Damn it!
I read a survey once that said 75% of people think that they are of above average intelligence. So, some of you is wrong then, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's, anyway, I don't know why that came up, but it's better than half the other subjects we've covered today. James, any final thoughts from you? Don't say thing you're going to say.
No, that's it, really. I just wanted to kind of, I thought it was quite poetic to finish on the Turin thing and just bring that back. But no, that's it, really. Yeah, like I say, I think, we're all snobs to an extent. We're all hypocrites to an extent, like I said. And that's it, really. That's all you can do.
Well,
just gotta.
Oh, but also, maybe just a little bit of snobbishness is fun. Let's be honest.
It is fun.
Let's not get depressed by it. Let's just revel in it and just
own it. Yeah. Own that shit.
Own it. Bite the bum of it.
What? What the fuck just happened there?
Bite the bum.
Just go back out like a peach and go,
biting.
Yeah, we can cut this as well, it's fine.
No.
No,
Fliss. You don't get away with it that easily.
We bring the cows in for milking and then we bite their bums.
What? What?
I have no fucking idea.
On that
very, very weird note, I think we wrap it up there. Right. Well, it's been a weird experience this week. So we'll be back in 2 weeks' time with more snobby bullshit on Less Odorance. Catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.